Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Anyway, we watched a movie called The 13th Year.
I watched this before you did.
You can go first. You think it's pretty meh.
It is a very meh movie. It is a waste of a really funny premise, and just it does nothing with it. It's a lot like Xenon, except Xenon really didn't have anything going for it. This actually...
Oh, wait, context. For those who don't know, DCOM stands for Disney Channel Original Movie. We watch one a week, and this is one is called The 13th Year. You can watch it on Disney Plus. Have fun with that, and then come back.
So yeah, like, I put this near Xenon. I think Xenon is still the worst of the bunch that we've seen so far, but I think this is second worst to me. It wasn't that funny. There wasn't that much fun stuff with it. It's also very much anti-nerd, which I thought was very funny, but not in the way it intended. There's just a lot. So do you want me to give, like, a brief synopsis of this movie?
In a minute. So are you going to say yay or nay in general, then?
I'm giving it a nay. I don't really think there's, like, anything too bad about it, but there's nothing, like, too good about it either to recommend, so I'm going to give it a nay.
The 13th Year is interesting. This one, for me, is a hard yay.
Very interesting.
In terms of the DCOMs that we've watched so far. But I say hard yay. Tentative to more positive yay? It's the closest we've come to a superhero movie, for one thing.
It is, in a very weird way.
And we'll get into that soon. But it's also, it has some very interesting allegories you can look at. I'll get into it. So I have a lot of interesting, more philosophical notes.
Puberty!
Besides just that.
Don't be a nerd, kids. Being a nerd is bad.
The 13th Year is fascinating to me. It's the only one I've watched so far before this podcast. I watched this one my friend Jake's house, like, 12 years ago one time on his couch. It came on, so we watched. I don't remember anything about it besides the idea of boy turns 13, starts becoming mermaid. That's the plot. I remember the ending, because an obvious ending.
Yeah.
Of boy goes to the sea.
When I was a kid, I had only ever seen the, like, commercials that would come on Disney Channel, like, when they're, like, re-showing Disney Channel movies, and I was just always like, this is a weird one. I don't think I'm going to watch it. I might have, at one point, seen, like, a few minutes here and there, but other than that, I remember nothing of this movie.
So... you want to give a synopsis of this? I want to hear what you think about this. It's very funny.
So in the beginning of the movie, there's a fisherman, and this fisherman is in Parks and Recreation, the one that owns JJ's Diner, so that's fun. He's out fishing, then he sees a mermaid carrying a baby, and when you see the baby, like, underwater, very clearly not underwater, so it's kind of hilarious to me, she fears for the baby because the fisherman's after her, so she puts the baby into a boat. Then she goes and hides. Then the people in that boat, which is Uncle Joey from Full House, and then...
it's Dave Coulier.
Dave Coulier. I don't remember who plays his wife. They're like, oh, there's a baby. Let's take the baby. We find out later they tried to find out who the kid's parents were, but they didn't. But my favorite thing is that they don't question who placed a baby in our fishing boat on, like, the side, like, where we catch the crabs. And the look on the mermaid, where she's just like, oh... I wasn't expecting that. You put him on a boat. What did you think was going to happen? And then flash forward to 13 years later, the main kid whose name I forgot.
Hey, it's called the 13th Year. That's crazy. Oh, he's Cody. The most cool kid name ever.
Cody, yes.
Agent Cody Banks?
Better movie than this. Cody swim real fast. He good swimmer. That's why he's on the swim team. He's the best swimmer. He goes to swim meet. He's wearing his clothes and almost goes swimming with his shoes on. Haha, very funny. And as the film progresses, we find out that nerds with tubas are stupid and they're bad swimmers.
That's not what it said, but okay. Nerds with tubas are bad swimmers.
after he turns 13, he starts discovering some weird things are happening to him. He's got scales growing on him. He's got electricity kinds of stuff. Eventually, he's climbing on walls. So he's basically this weird Spider-Man. Then the nerd with the tuba, he doesn't carry it all the time, although it would have been hilarious if he did. He starts to help him figure out what's going on with him. And we find out, oh, you might be a fish boy man, merman, mermaid boy fish. Yes. But then afterwards, there's really no trying to stop it or really solve it. And then it just kind of ends.
There's a girl named Sam who was
his weird girlfriend. Like, for 13 years old, and also these kids are very clearly like maybe 15, maybe a little bit older, so it's funny to me.
I don't mind it that much, honestly. It's like every other version of teenager stuff.
But think of the movie Good Boys. Like, they cast the actual ages that they are. And here, you're not 13, though. Your teeth are too perfect to be 13 years old. My first note here, one of the people that worked on this movie, I don't remember at all what their position was. Their name is Chez Starbuck. C-H-E-Z, last name Starbuck. And that's a name if I've ever heard one. I want to know their story. The next note I have after that is, and Brent Biscoe as Big John. I am already loving this movie.
The first scene, 13 years prior to the story taking place, he has on his boat a sonar fish finder.
I wrote that down. And a sonar fish finder.
The lock on target function, which is not lock on targets at all because the fish keeps getting away. But sonar fish finder for your fishing boat.
Why not just call it sonar?
Either way, you wouldn't have that.
You're just a normal fisherman. Like, your boat, like, is nothing amazing. How do you have a sonar fish finder?
And the best part of that scene to me is that fisherman shouts to the water, "You're beautiful!" He just kept shouting it to the mermaid.
My first quote I wrote was, "If I didn't know better, I'd say this fish was half human." And afterwards I said, "Well, this writing's on point." The writing in this is not that good.
Also, that same scene, when the baby gets placed on the boat of Cody's now parents, Dave Coulier says, "Oh, honey, that's just the sound of a baby crying." A baby crying? And they both turn around to the baby. What?
Okay, what? I have a very, very specific note about this, and it's going to be weird that I even know this. So the crying noise that they use for the baby is the exact same crying noise that is used in Shrek 2. And this is so weird that I remember this, but I've seen Shrek 2 a lot. So it's when Shrek and Fiona get out of the carriage and they're in Far, Far Away. They meet her parents for the first time. There's just this dead silence, then this baby crying in the background. It's that exact same baby cry. I don't know why I remember it, but when I heard it, my brain just like did some weird matrixing kind of thing, and I just remembered it. It was weird, man. It was weird.
Also, the mermaid mom had mascara on and lipstick on.
She has zero lines in this entire movie.
Yeah, it actually kind of bothers me.
And she is a terrible mother.
First scene of the 13 years later, we have Cody, our main merman, who I wrote down as Fishboy a lot of times. And they actually eventually call him Fishboy in the movie, which that was pretty funny. So we have Fishboy. Before he's fish, he becomes fishy progressively, which also gets triggered by water, like Luca. This Fishboy is on the boat because his parents do a tour boat service. An old lady comes up to him and says, "We were supposed to have left 20 minutes ago. For $5, I expect much more." Bitch, what? For $5, I expect a Big Mac, and you get a boat ride?
Be thankful for that.
Yeah, a $5 boat ride's not bad.
I also love that the boat is, like, in poor condition, but it's never a big plot thing at all. It's just there for the first scene, and then it's gone.
Well, he also hardly ever goes on the boat again at all.
Yeah.
There's, like, a weird gag, like, to make him late, apparently. If he was late for his swim practice, why was he on the boat at all?
The writing is not the best in this one. At the swim meet, the coach says, "We advanced to the finals. No Marlins team has made it that far." And I wrote, "Well, that's a nice way to tell them that we sucked for years."
I thought it was more positive, but all right. That's pretty funny. Cody had to dive in after a ferry to keep it getting missed. No, you do not. There is a propeller there. You will die. You will die.
For me, it was when he got there, the boat was like barely even 5 feet away from him. He could have jumped onto the ferry. It was not a fast ferry.
For context, Cody is late to his practice. He gets off his parents' boat, runs to the ferry to try and catch it, to go back to town, to go to his school, to go to a swim meet. And the ferry had just left a minute ago. He's like, "You could go there. You can still just leave. Don't dive into the propeller, you idiot." Which he didn't get hurt, but whatever. They also had knockoff version of Squints from the Sandlot in this movie.
That's where he was from. I was just like, he looks so familiar.
The actor actually was in Little Giants. You seen that? He also played a nerd in that.
I have not.
Kind of fun movie.
Did this come out before or after the Sandlot?
You Google it, sir.
One moment.
If Sandlot Boy, if you can't swim...
I'm just calling him the nerd.
Okay. If Nerdy Boy If Jess couldn't swim, why'd you walk into the pool room with your face stuck in a tuba? What?
Exactly.
That scene, you could have just cut that scene short, because he comes back later on as a lab partner for Cody. That could have been his introduction.
Remember, this movie is anti-nerd, and nerds play big musical instruments, and they'll fall in the water, and it's funny when they're drowning, because, haha, nerd.
Also, his biggest fear is drowning, and later on, he almost drowns because of his dad. Like, what?
Again, the writing is on point for this one. I looked up the dates for The Sandlot in this. This came out 6 years after The Sandlot.
Nice. Cody, he had the exact same scene, the wake-up scene, as Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I'm sticking to the ceiling, mama. Look at me. I'm so sticky.
So that means that Sam Raimi took inspiration from this movie to make for Spider-Man, because that came out 3 years after this.
I'm not so sure that's what that means, but I'll go with it anyway.
The similarities are too real.
It's a lot. There's Fishboy gets powers of vague electricity, on and off stickiness. He has on and off scales, which just go away. They just evaporate. They should fall off.
The weird thing about it is that there's no real timeline of when it happens. In something like Luca, they get in the water, they turn back into the fish people, they get out of the water, like, they just shake the water off and then they're people again. But here, he could be dry for hours and the scales will still be there.
I kind of like that a little, because he doesn't know anything about mermaid culture or whatever. He doesn't actually know how this works, and that was kind of fascinating to see. I also like the idea that potentially the more wet he gets, the more often he's in water, the faster it progresses. That's kind of fun. But I like the on and off, and like not knowing how it was happening. It made it more interesting. Here's a weird thing, though. The mom hates doctors, and is a fan of...
Yes! She's an anti-vaxxer!
She's a fan of natural medicine and acupuncture. She would vote for the Orange Man. Also, if you vote for the Orange Man, don't listen to our podcast. I don't care. Don't listen to it. Not to be too political, but like, he's kind of the worst.
My note for the natural medicine mom, I said natural medicine. Maybe he's not a mermaid and this is a cautionary tale of why your kids should be vaccinated.
Oh my god. No. Also, for someone who has, if you have a mom that's skeptic about doctors, why make the doctor weird?
Yeah, and like when the doctor comes in, like it's back when doctors would make house calls. He said, I need to speak to your son. And he's like, alone. I'm just like, the parents are supposed to stay with the child. This is not okay.
Why is there a doctor here? Because if you have seen the movie, they called a doctor because our son's turning into a fish. What's wrong with him?
But this bothers me so much. He gets sticky powers. He's on the goddamn ceiling. His parents walk in and see that. They're like, maybe we should call a doctor. And then the doctor says, he's just going through puberty. Yeah. He was on the ceiling! He is not normal!
We don't know what else the doctor saw, like what version of the progression, which is weird.
But the fact that his parents never say anything until, like, you know, it progresses even worse, they just accept him, just like, you two went through puberty. Did you crawl on the ceilings?
Let's go back in time a little bit to more some chronological order stuff. Early on, so once the swim meet happened, there's an asshole named Sean who gives a bad name to all Seans, and I'm very offended by this.
Was he on the swim team?
Yeah.
So about the swim team, these kids take it so seriously. Like, it is life or death, and it is kind of hilarious to me. Because just like, you are a swim team in middle school. Calm down.
Honestly, super realistic, though. That's how, like, every single sports team, middle school, high school was. Every swim team. Like, I knew people in swim team. That's how it all was.
It's realistic, but that doesn't mean it's not funny. At least to me.
True. When I watched it, I didn't feel that as much. I felt like it was just like a normal, we have practice, like, rely on your team kind of thing. But then at the same time, it was very weird how they're competing individually.
You're supposed to be a team. Why would you do this to each other?
And for the record, neither Josh or I have ever been on a swim team or know what it's like or anything like that, really. Besides, like, seeing people, like, swim team.
My sisters have been on swim teams for years, so I know it more.
Sean... Not me, other Sean, was mean to Cody because he's a little faster, but the commentator made no sense. He kept saying how Cody's right behind him and then saying how, oh, Sean's got this in the bag. Is this even a race? I'm like, pick a side.
Usually during swim meets, there's not a huge amount of commentary or specific commentary like this. And also, in the first swim meet, they're inside, and this is back in the time when they still fired the gun. Why would you fire a gun inside, even if it's just blanks? Think! This is why we use buzzers!
And then, of course, we see Cody Boy holding hands with girl Sam, and his parents literally just say, are you two an item? And he's upholding hands, and he's like, What? We're going to ignore your question now. Very odd scenario.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Sam reminded me a little bit of Girl from Can of Worms, because she had the same kind of arc of, I'm mad at you irrationally for no reason.
But here they were actually dating, so it made more sense than in Can of Worms.
True. Also, Can of Worms was our last week DCOM. Go watch that, listen to the podcast last week, and you'll understand more context. Because last week was our best DCOM so far.
When they're in school, the first time the nerd sees Cody just drinking from the fountain, it's just Cody's head is just in the fountain. I'm just like, is he trying to drown himself?
Oh, here's a great quote from Jess the Nerd Boy. Also, every time I heard his name, I kept wanting to hear, who is that girl? It's Jess. He said, nerds don't really have friends. We have hobbies. And that made me die laughing. Because honestly, that's fair. But we do have friends. But we have friends in our hobbies.
Yeah. This film just hates nerds so much. And it's so funny to me. Like, this is peak 90s writing when being a nerd was lame. And this movie does nothing to redeem him. Except, well, no, that's not entirely true. But, like, the whole time it's just like, you nerd. You stupid nerd. Nerd. Also, like, that's all it is. And it's great.
He's honestly the best character in this. He goes to Cody's birthday party, brings him a gift. And even after Cody's friends are mean to him, he still leaves the gifts for him after he leaves. That's really sweet. I liked him. He was nice. He also was an idiot. He's smart, yes. But he's an idiot.
I will say, I don't remember how many people wrote this, but at least one of the writers went on to write Big Hero 6 and other good movies. You can improve.
I will say there's a scene where they're all looking at their hands. That gave me actually a really genuine chuckle. There's a scene where Fishboy is in his kitchen.
Yeah.
Breakfast, confused by his hands because of the scales. And then his mom sees him, and then she starts checking her own hands. And then Dave Coulier walks in. Not his dad, literal Dave Coulier. No.
I was calling him Uncle Joey.
He walks in the room, looks at his hands for a second, and say, am I the only sane one in this family? And they all just like realize what they're doing. Like, oh, all right. It's pretty funny.
But I mean, I think he was also just genuinely being like, I think I'm the only sane one in this family. My wife, she believes in natural medicine. My son, he's just climbing on the walls. How am I the normal one here? I'm the one that does the Popeye impressions.
I also wrote at one point, Dogman's distant but less popular relative, Fishboy. I also wrote, how do scales just go away? Because they should fall off, not just evaporate.
Oh, I wrote his mom called doctors quacks with stethoscopes.
Yeah. I hate the nerd trope of saying big thesaurus words and then just dumbing it down for a joke, which happened in this. At one point, Why is Jess this nerdy guy friends with this most popular kid in school, Cody? Well, Jess needs to learn how to swim. And Cody's a swimmer. And Cody is failing his marine biology section of his class, biology class. And Cody loves marine biology, so they're helping each other out with a mutual little deal. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so basically, he helps him to swim, he helps him marine biology, and while Cody goes to see Jess, while he's looking in like a little tidal pool, and Jess is very sassy, this nerd. And
he really is.
He's very sarcastic and sassy. He has the most personality of anyone in the film. And I love that he does the dumb thesaurus trope of nerds saying, "Oh, you need that quasar malama need jibubadoo." He's like, "Wait, what? Oh, that means just dig in the sand." What? Just say that.
We wouldn't know he's a nerd if he didn't say those big words that we don't understand.
Yes. He, at one point, my boy, fish boy, ate some fish food. It's a very short scene. He stared at his fish tank, said, "I guess I'm one of you all now," and ate some other fish food and went, "Ugh." And that was that scene.
I completely forgot about that. I will say the actor playing Fishboy was not the best. I don't know if it was the direction or if it was just him. It just felt like every line read was just off. It didn't seem right. And I don't know who to blame for it. I don't want to be harsh on kid actors, but at the same time, when you're the lead of the movie, you have a bit more weight to it.
There's also a scene where they rip off a scale from his arm. I thought that really hurt. For examining, that would really hurt if you're like just tearing off a piece of skin there.
I have a great line from the nerd. He said, "I haven't gone through puberty yet, but I'm a pretty brilliant guy."
He's like, "I'm a genius, it's fine." Yeah, that's pretty funny. I wrote, this girl's really, really into him, which she definitely was.
She really was.
She kissed him and said, "We can try again," because he messed up. It got a little shocking because his new powers.
Didn't she say we could try again in like a month or something like that?
She said, "You can try again next year on your birthday."
Yeah, like, I was just like, this is a middle school relationship. Like, you're both going to have like 20 relationships by then.
I thought it was pretty funny. That's clever. It was funny.
I wrote, "So Cody has the power to make fish commit suicide." Nice. They're testing out his powers, and he telepathically tells the fish to jump out of the fish tank. So my mind is just like, so he can just make fish commit suicide whenever he wants. All right.
Also, at one point, when he's still becoming fishy, his mom makes him fish for dinner.
Quote, "It seems to get worse when you get wet." Phrasing!
Oh, you dirty-minded fool. That the sexual episode was last week, Josh. Come on.
So remember when he's at the beach and his girlfriend shows up? He's sitting down on the beach. Then the next shot, his arms are in the sand. And I'm just like, did you just like spike your arms down into the sand? Like, how did you do that?
Well, between the shots, it's pretty easy. You just bare your hands.
But no, like, you would have to, like, dig, and, like, she would notice that. Like, it would have to be, like, such a quick and fast thing that she wouldn't even be able to notice. Because seeing him, like, dig like a dog, like, digging in the dirt, but in the sand, just to cover his arms, I think she would say something.
When's the last time you were at the beach, Josh? Because that kind of sand that was pretty light, you could easily just stuff him in the sand. When's the last time you were at the beach, Josh?
It's been many years. You could get your hands in, but not your entire arms. He had his whole arms down in there.
You can go to the beach again. You can do that. Trust me. That same scene, though, he doesn't want to tell what's happening because naturally his arms are fins. Which also, why did it start with his arms, not his legs? Very weird. Because that's the only part of your body that's really finny and fishy, which would be your legs. So why it start? Anyway, that same scene, when Sam sees him at the beach, he's been swimming and like testing out his watery powers. She says, "You should be able to tell me anything." No, he should not be able to tell you anything. She says it with such defiance. You're not married. You've been there like maybe, I don't know, a month most.
You're both 13. You're in middle school.
You can like, have secrets still.
The deepest conversations you're going to have is who's the worst in your science class. It's not that deep, bro.
I also like the nerd boy. When Sean and the bully boy, Sean and Cody, get into a fight because Sean thinks he's cheating, which he's not.
And yeah, like at one point he's just like, I think he's using performance enhancers. I'm like, oh, where? You are children.
Also, because one kid beats you, he's on drugs now. What? That's pretty funny, because that same scene, though, the nerd boy says, if anyone's going to get beat up, it should be me. And that's amazing, because it reminds me of Billy from Power Rangers, and I really appreciate that.
I wrote that quote. He said, if no one's beating me up, what am I supposed to do between classes? How am I supposed to fill my job description?
Yeah.
This movie hates nerds so much.
Or it knows how to write them really well, because I loved his character, I'm not going to lie.
He was the best part of the movie, but again, it's not saying a whole lot. quote, "We're the team. We're what everyone wants to be." I don't know who said that, but again, you're a middle school swim team. It's
also
not that
you've
deep.
You've been losing.
You haven't been doing that good.
You're not the team to beat.
And then here's a quote. I think this might be from the coach. "State finals, the Super Bowl of swimming." I'm just like, do people really think that middle school swimming is that deep? Seriously, what am I missing here?
Fun fact, that was from the commentator. The person who was paid to go and just commentate the game, this swim meet, compared it to the Super Bowl. Fascinating. 13-year-olds, 12-year-olds, fascinating.
So remember when the fish boy sneaks out of the house to go to the final swim meet and his parents are looking for him? Uncle Joey looks at the ceiling to see if his son is up there. I'm like, that's actually some good attention to detail. I like that. But it's like, it doesn't linger on. It's in the background. So it could be like a blink and you notice kind of thing.
Yeah, it's nice. I also want to say that this movie is a Spider-Man movie starring Aquaman. It really is a mix of Superman, Aquaman, and Spider-Man. But he's not being heroic. He's just trying to deal with it, which is much more realistic, honestly. Here's another thing, though. Sam, when she got over the fish thing, she bit her lip as she said, "I miss you," to Cody, and then kissed him. Why are you so horny, girl? You're 13.
I think the puberty is kicking in, so that might be why.
Right.
He's getting fish powers and she's getting horny. That's how it works, apparently.
Do mermaids lose their intelligence? His other mom, which I love that it said other mom instead of saying real mom in the movie, because that implies adopted parents aren't real parents, and I love that they avoided that. A lot of movies that say, "My real mom." No, your other mom. But anyway, so she looked up, saw the net very clearly, went under the net, and then got caught.
She
were at one point part human. You were at one point a human, apparently, for 13 years. So you knew how this works. You know how the world is. My idea is, once they touched hands, they couldn't talk, like when they became fully mermaid.
It's so weird to think about. I guess because they're becoming more fish, maybe like as they get older, they actually become a fish. There's no real set mythology for this world, so it just kind of anything happens, and what happens is makes sense, I guess.
I kind of dig it. It's fine. You don't need to, does not need to be too deep, because it again is, it's mer people with, because we don't know any other mer people in the world, you won't have a lot of listens on that. It's kind of fun. By luck a lot, I mean it makes no sense. Cody's blonde mom, not the mermaid mom. I guess, are they both blonde? I'm not sure. Anyway, Cody's earth mom, land mom, looks at the mermaid in the water, looks back at Cody to start like, almost sobbing, starts crying a lot. She loves you, Cody. Go with her.
But yeah.
And you can come back for school. What?
I wrote, so his mom can communicate telepathically.
Yeah, it made
all
no
right,
sense.
I guess? Even though it's never been once addressed at all.
That being said, I think one of the reasons I like this movie a lot is because this movie, if you don't think of it as literal man turns to mermaid, but think of it more of a, I am starting to feel different feelings. This movie feels very gay. Like, incredibly gay.
The way you say it, I was like, this movie feels gay.
I mean, like, no, not like gay as in, I mean, like, it feels like, this movie feels queer-coded. Completely. Very much like Luca, actually. In a lot of ways. And the way things are addressed, the way of telling your, like, hiding it behind the holy way of your parents describing it as, we need to help him, we need to cure him. The way it starts making him feel a little more outcast, the way he's trying to hide himself, how he's losing... It feels like a coming-out story, and eventually at the end he embraces himself. This feels very much like a queer story, and it's like a good allegory for that. That's the reason why I give this movie a yay over nay. I think, while unintentional, so that's why I said it's not fully queer-coding, because queer-coding is usually meant to be with some intent, but it also gives the same similar X-Men vibe, not with the power as much, but with that same of... We are outcasts, we're prejudiced, we're trying to just fit into ourselves and embrace who we are and love ourselves. It felt like that a lot. I loved the thematic messages in the movie about self-acceptance, about like, trying to hide who you are, trying to... There's a lot of things like that which were really, really well done. And just... There's a line by Sam. It's after she finds out, and she gets mad at him, scoffs about it and storms off, which felt very much like a, hey, I'm gay, or I'm bi, or I'm queer kind of moment, and... Them, your partner finding out about it and coming to kind of try to accept it, and she said to him later on, I'm still weirded out about it, but who wouldn't be? And he says, have you met Jess yet? And that felt again like a very queer scene of a partner or ex-partner trying to understand something and then not being okay with it, trying to be okay with it, and you have your new someone who was accepting of it. It felt like maybe coming to a new partner or something like that. So I kind of ship them, those two, Jess and Cody. because that he seemed like someone who accepted Cody for who he was and was excited about it right away, or at least like an actual true ally kind of supportive thing. This movie to me just felt very gay. It was done really well if you look at it as an allegory for a lot of different things, like for a lot of marginalized people. That's pretty cool.
I'm thinking about it, and I can see that in certain areas, but to me, it felt a lot more like the typical kind of like superhero kind of stuff. And I can see where you're coming from on a lot of that stuff. I just think that like the way the ending is, and just like other things, like it kind of falls flat in certain areas. And like for me, overall, this is just a very meh kind of like kids superhero-ish movie. And also, he never fully turns into a mermaid either the entire movie. No, he doesn't.
At the very end, yeah.
At the very end, he doesn't grow a tail. He just has the...
Watch it again.
Yes?
Yeah. Yeah, he leaps out of the water and he has a full tail. I give this a yay, but also I think it's better thematically than it is narratively.
I still don't think that Cody is that great of a character. Kids are growing and kids are learning, so they're going to do stupid stuff and be just terrible all the time, but it never felt like that for most of the movie until near the end. I don't personally see anything a lot deeper than just like, oh, you're a fish boy. Love being a fish boy.
And on that note, next segment.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.